That's three. Brady.
There it is! Swans have ended a 20-year drought! Unbelievable! Big leg, big mark. Knocked down by Stevenson. Cracker gathers, shoots, and Swans have won the grand final.
Hi, this is Dennis Cometti, and you're listening to the Monday Waffle.
Hello, yes, welcome to a very Tuesday-feeling episode of the Monday Waffle. I'm Jared Gardner, and hosting by myself today, but before we get into the games and before we do our usual structure, I've got a few little things to talk about. So I've got a page of notes here, which you can hear, and so let's just run through a few things I thought was worth talking about, in particular, a very big milestone. So first of all, the weather. That is clearly the worst weather we've had all season. I managed to spend a few days over in Melbourne recently, and the weather was perfect. So I'm going to think that the weather, the terrible weather we've come to expect from Melbourne, i.e., you know, four seasons in one day, has moved to Perth for this weekend. And it some of the pictures, especially up at Joondalup, HBF Arena, that looked like it was a lake with a few bits of grass splattered here and there. That was soaked. And of course, though, with such heavy rain and such poor weather, the scoring was pretty limited. Only one team managed to get over 75 points, but it doesn't mean that some games didn't go down to the wire, and some were very interesting when we get to those reviews later on. Subiaco, actually, we're going to spend a bit of time up north here with this news. Subiaco got 12 wins in a row, which puts them comfortably at the top of the ladder there versus the Falcons, who had their international football festival up there, the annual one, but sadly, because of the rain, the crowd was a bit smaller than normal. But who I want to talk about is Jared Schofield and what he's managed to achieve as coach of the Lions after this victory against West Perth. It's his 100th game as coach, as a milestone in itself, so congratulations for that. That's his 70th win as coach, so 70 out of 100 is not a bad record. He's a premiership hat-trick player. He's a dual winner of the premiership as a coach, all for the Lions. He joins his mentors Peter German and Scott Waters as having a winning percentage of 70 or more. Again, as I've said, that's ridiculous. He had 114 games as a Lion. He's knocked back offers from the AFL to coach to stay in the Waffle system, which is very loyal and, you know, fantastic for WA football. He's known to be a pretty harsh coach, pretty stern, tough coach, which players like Chris Phelan said he loves it. He thinks it's the best way forward. But this is the main thing. Only five other WA footballers have played and coached a century of matches at the same club. So Jared's the sixth, but these are the five players. Ken Armstrong from Perth, he played 170 games and he had 208 as a coach. Arthur Green from Subiaco played 151 and coached 120. Mick Cronin from East Perth was 164 as a player, 125 games as coach. John Todd from South Fremantle had 142 games and 156 as coach. But the final one is, I think, the most interesting. And then that puts... I'll just get to it. The fifth man is South Fremantle great Clive Lewington. He played 182 games and won three premierships at that time. He then went on to coach South Fremantle for 159 matches and won three more flags, which is... Six flags is quite remarkable in itself, but this puts himself, Clive, and Jared in a league on their own. They are the only two men in the Waffle history to have multiple flags in both disciplines of playing and coaching, which is stunning. And congratulations to Jared on his win. And, I mean, you know what? A late congratulations to Clive as well. That is a ridiculous feat.
If you're loving the Monday Waffle podcast, make sure you head to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Monday Waffle, for more awesome content. And while you're there, give us a like.
Well, we started talking about Subi West Perth, so let's continue that with the match review. So Subi, like I said, have got their 12th straight win, taking down West Perth 6-11-47 to 4-12-36. I told you the scores were a bit low because of the weather, which meant, though, because it's such poor weather, that gaining the contested footy and territory was vital in terms of winning this game. Subi had an 18-point lead, and it looked like a winning lead during the third quarter, but West Perth got within 5 during the last quarter thanks to Aiden Lynch, who kicked a near 50-metre bomb just trying to clear congestion. Subi's captain Kyle Horsley was again outstanding with 28 disposals and laying 12 tackles, again in the weather. With such poor weather, tackles were at a premium as well. Ruckman Adam Creeper was not out of place in the rain, as like many big men are. He managed 19 disposals, 6 tackles, 26 hitouts, and a goal to himself. Scott Hancock is working his way back into some nice form after his knee reconstruction last year. He managed 22 disposals and 4 inside 50s. Craig Hoskin was able to tag Shane Nelson, the ball magnet, out of the game. And Clancy Wheeler was lost to an ankle injury, unfortunately, during the opening minutes. For West Perth, Scott Nelson managed to kick his first goal in his WAFL career, which is great for the guy. A few other stats. So in the wet, like I said, tackles were at a premium. Adam Cockey managed 10. Corey Adamson got 11 off halfback and 2 goals, might I add. And then, as I said, Kyle Horsley managed 12. For West Perth, Aiden Lynch, he managed 12 for him for his side. Lee Kitchen, he managed 27 disposals and 5 tackles for Subi. For West Perth, Luke Meadows did his best. He managed 28 disposals, with 24 of them being kicks. Ruckman Scott Simpson continued his good form, 17 disposals, 31 hitouts. Moving down to Leaderville Oval now, and East Perth disposed of East Fremantle pretty comfortably, 16-7, 103 to 6-6, 42, in a game that probably was over by about the 15-minute mark. And if you weren't too sure by then, by half-time, the Sharks only managed 4 behinds, while East Perth had kicked 7 goals. The score then was 46-4. But the big story was about East Perth's big men. They dominated the ruck contest, winning the hitouts, ready for this, 122-17. I'll say that again. 122 wins for East Perth, 17 wins for East Fremantle in the ruck department. That was led by Jonathan Giles and Scott Lysett. Jonathan Giles had 55 hitouts for himself, but Scott Lysett was clearly the best man here, and he demands a return to the Eagles list for the first time this year. Listen to these stats. For a ruckman, mind you, 67 hitouts, 21 touches, 6 tackles, and a goal. Surely this performance gets Adam Simpson a little interested in maybe bringing back the big guy. Ben Miller on debut for East Perth will remember this game. He managed 2 goals. Second gamer for the Sharks, Ambrose Ryan, he managed to get the first goal for the Sharks just after half time, less than a minute. But yeah, the game was finished well and truly before then, and East Perth now have the bye, so making sure they won this game was crucial to stay in finals contention. We'll head to the team-based stats quickly now. East Perth had 88 more disposals, they had 17 more marks, they had 25 more inside 50s, and 11 more scoring shots. They just didn't let East Fremantle into the contest. As for individual performances, Paddy McGinnity had 37 disposals, 5 tackles, and a goal. He was loving the conditions. Tom Lamb didn't get a goal, but 30 touches to himself. Kurt Mutimer had 32 disposals, 8 inside 50s, and 2 goals, while Nathan Eaton managed to lay 12 tackles. For the Sharks, Cameron Earley did his best, 33 touches and 10 tackles. Dion Anthony had 25 touches, and Alex Howson managed 2 goals for the team.
Don't forget to go to the Monday Waffle Facebook page and throw us a like, and follow us on Twitter.
Swinging over to one of the absolute nail-biters this round, between Peel Thunder and Claremont, saw Peel kick the last 2 points of the game to go up 8-5-53 to 6-15-51 for Claremont. If only they were a little more accurate, who knows what could have happened. Peel led by 23 at half-time, but Claremont managed to keep them scoreless in the third quarter, which allowed them to get to within 1 point by three-quarter time. However, the defence from Peel is what won them this game. Led by Freo-listed players such as Sam Collins, who had 19 touches and 11 marks, and also that of Ryan Niehaus. He had 30 touches, 6 marks, 4 tackles, and 3 inside 50s, and has definitely put his hand up for selection this week. Shane Kirsten made his name known to the Waffle community after being dumped from the Freo squad and scored 2 early goals. With Peel being kept scoreless in the third term, it allowed Claremont to catch up, and then in the final quarter turned the game into a shootout, which saw scores being tied heading into time on, but behinds to Hancock and Kirsten in the final 7 minutes of the game led to the nail-biting victory. I do want to point out quickly that Claremont had 15 more inside 50s and 21 scoring shots to 13, again stressing the point that accuracy in front of goal is so crucial in terms of winning matches. A few personal stats for players. John Griffin had a great matchup with Mitch Andrews. John Griffin had 31 hitouts, Andrews had 34. Hayden Matthews for Peel had 11 tackles, and Rory O'Brien, 22 touches and 6 tackles. For the Tigers, Jai Bolton led from the front as he does normally, 29 touches and 7 inside 50s, but sadly kicked 3 behinds. As I said before, accuracy was a key factor in this game, and Bailey Banfield had 25 touches.
Look, I say these things, but I don't write them. Pop the confetti, I'm Dennis Cometti. Listen to the Monday Waffle.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Having a quick look now at the final game of the round, Perth v Swan Districts, and we saw Perth sadly again struggle in the second half. They went down 9-12-66 to 11-7-73 of the Swans. Perth had a 33-point lead during the second term, but the Swans in the second half kicked 6-2. Perth just couldn't fire a shot in the second half, and I've got a pretty damning stat that proves Perth really struggle in the second halves of games, and they need to figure this out. So here it is. In the last 3 games the Demons have played, they have been outscored in the second half 35-19 to 5-11. If you want to be more specific, that's being outscored by 188 points in 6 quarters of football. Perth really need to figure out what's happening in their second halves, because their first halves they're doing really well. In this game just gone, they kicked 3 goals in the first 10 minutes from McFarlane, Byrne and Scotney, and had a 23-point lead going into quarter time, and as I said earlier, a 33-point lead during the second quarter, but for some reason, they just drop away. The win is perfect for the Swans now. They are now locking themselves into 4th spot, they are a game ahead of 5th, and they're only percentage outside of 3rd spot. The win also is sweeter because they were down to 2 men early on in the game, with losses to Matt Riggio and Jacob Coniglio early on. The Swans had many multiple goal kickers on the day. Ricky Carey kicked 3, Braden Noble, Therese Stewart and Jamie Bennell all kicked 2. Former Magpie Corey Gold had 51 hitouts and 23 touches, while Ryan Crowley had a solid 20 disposals. Callum Papertalk kicked 2 goals for the Demons and managed to take his tally now to 15 in 5 games. He is making a solid contribution to their team. Clinton Jones for the Demons does what he does day in, day out. It is grab the ball. He got 36 touches, 31 of which were kicks and 8 inside 50s. I should also note that no other Demon managed over 20 touches, which is quite interesting. Christian Ayres had 44 hitouts and Aidan Tropiano had 10 tackles. For the Swans, Adam Faulkner got 25 disposals, while David Ellard had 24 and 9 tackles.
If you like footy, you'll love us. It's the Monday Waffle.
Well, it's that time for the tipping segment. By myself this week, no Poppy or Tash, but I've got to say, I'm impressed. Mel and Tash have managed to score 4 from 4, which is disappointing. Jimmy, he got 3. He got 3 himself, and I managed 2. Well, you know what they say, I feel like this is punishment for me when I said East Fremantle would never win a game this season, and then immediately the week after, they do. I think, yeah, that's punishment for myself. I'll cop that on the chin, and we'll see what happens next week, but all I know is that Mel is still at the top of the ladder. As for next week's games, I'm going to tip Claremont South Fremantle. I'm going to have to go South Fremantle on this one. Subiaco will get over Perth. Swan Districts will take over East Fremantle. And West Perth Peel. I'm going to go West Perth because they're at home. As for those games and where you can find them and at what time, Claremont South Fremantle will be at Claremont Oval. Can Claremont continue their undefeated run at their new home? It'll be at 1:40 on the 8th of July. All other games will take place as well on the same day, but at 2:15. So at Leaderville Oval, we'll have Subiaco v Perth. At Steel Blue Oval, will be Swans and East Fremantle. And Joondalup's HBF Arena will host West Perth and Peel Thunder. That will about do us for this week of the Monday Waffle. Thank you for listening. I'm Jared Gardner, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.